Bee hummingbirds are found only in Cuba. They're a mere 2 inches long, and they weigh less than 2 grams. That's a bit less than the weight of a dime. Bee hummingbirds lay their eggs in a nest that's only an inch wide, and the eggs are about the size of a coffee bean. By comparison, our ruby-throated hummingbirds are about twice that size, and they're still very small. Small things and summer storytelling. What a good idea. I have really enjoyed the sharing this summer, as well as the wonderfully done children's stories. Years ago, I shared my story at assembly on a warm summer morning. While I enjoyed being able to do that, I also decided then and there that one time was enough. However, when Mary Lehman Yoder asked me to share about birds as part of the Small Things summer schedule, I think she knew that she had found the one topic that I would find hard to resist. First, a bit of history. My parents attended Goshen College in the 1930s, and they learned about birds and each other in an ornithology class with Dr. Samuel Whitmer. That class included field trips to see Goshen area birds. So after college, my parents got married, moved to Ohio, and continued to enjoy birds. When I was about 9 or 10 years old, they introduced me to a kingfisher at the Kilbuck Marsh near Worcester, where we lived at the time. I can still see that beautiful, sleek, blue bird perched on a wire over a ditch. Then I saw it dive down into the water to catch a minnow. From that moment on, I was excited by each new bird that I saw. At our bird feeders at home, or in the nearby woods, or on family vacations to Florida, Colorado, and much of the United States. College brought me back to Goshen, where I found more birds, but more importantly, the love of my life. Helen and I have been fortunate to live in different parts of the world while working with Goshen College and Mennonite Central Committee. And everywhere we have lived, there were new birds to enrich my life. The Matthew 6 text talks about not worrying and uses the example of birds not reaping, sowing, or storing up food in barns. This example seems to work in the story. However, birders know that acorn woodpeckers and many other birds store up thousands of nuts for the winter. And amazingly, they remember where most of them are hidden. Telephone poles in southeastern Arizona are often dotted with hundreds of nut hiding holes. At the end of this section of the text about not worrying, verse 34 speaks to us today. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. Well, all my life I have been fortunate to have meaningful work, work that I thoroughly enjoyed. I also have hobbies in addition to birding. And in retirement, there have been MCC-connected places to volunteer. These days, however, I sometimes struggle to find meaningful ways to fill my day. The depot, my second home here in Goshen, has been closed for months. I try not to worry and to take one day at a time, as the Matthew text suggests, but it's not easy. Birding does help me at a time like this. Bill Mateer did a nice job this morning of introducing us to birds, both here in Goshen, that wood thrush video was wonderful, and in the Bible. When we think about birds in the Bible, doves probably come to mind right away. A dove is seen as a symbol of peace and of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 3:16, we read, "The Spirit of God descended like a dove and alighted on Jesus." Doves are found almost anywhere you go in the world, and they do have songs and calls that are quiet and peaceful. The common local member of the family is the mourning dove. Mourning doves don't build complicated nests. They just put a few sticks on a branch. Their eggs often look like they could roll off at any moment. Ravens also show up in the Bible, and ravens have recently been the subject of a number of studies by scientists. Results of the research have been surprising, showing that ravens are very intelligent and capable of doing many things that would formerly not have been thought possible. Check it out. Then we have chickens. I was delighted to see that the children's story today would feature chickens. You might be surprised to know that in Asia, including in the Philippines, where we lived for a year, there's a wild bird called the red jungle fowl. These birds look very much like a domestic rooster, but they are incredibly shy and hard to find in the dense rainforests of the Philippines. Once while Helen and I were hiking, we heard a red jungle fowl calling, well, crowing. But we couldn't find it, no matter how hard we tried. So the red jungle fowl is on my world birding list, but only as a herd bird. We also read about eagles in the Bible. On another morning in the Philippines, Helen and I were hiking with a friend on Mount Apo, not too far from Davao City where we lived. We were extremely fortunate to see a soaring Philippine eagle, one of the largest and rarest eagles in the world. Here in the U.S., not many years ago, bald eagles were seriously endangered. Now, thanks to the banning of DDT, among other factors, they are doing amazingly well, including a successful nest at the Goshen Dam Pond for the last 3 years. However, around the world, many species of eagles are still endangered. But wherever you go, eagles are spoken of with awe. Isaiah 40:31 remains one of my favorite verses. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. And this verse really does need to be sung. Job 36:26 refers to the migration of hawks. Raptors, a term that includes hawks, eagles, and owls, are my favorite family of birds. In 2008, I spent 2 weeks in Cardel, Mexico with two birding friends and dozens of other birders from around the world. Every fall, millions of hawks migrate over Cardel, which is located where the mountains almost reach the ocean. So birders who come to observe this spectacle can expect to see over 100,000 broadwing hawks or a similar number of Swainson's hawks in a single day, plus a wide variety of other raptors, pelicans, vultures, and other soaring birds. I have never experienced anything like it before or since. There also is an impressive raptor migration each year in the Middle East, so people in the Bible were undoubtedly aware of this phenomenon. Our days may be stressful even in normal times, and now this may include the loss of a job, working at home while taking care of children, and much more. We often can't interact with our parents, our grandparents, or with church and family friends. A great deal of patience and creativity is needed. We may need to find new ways to deal with stress and to recharge. Getting outside to walk in the local trails and parks and natural places is good for us. Children especially delight in the outdoors. Take them outside and soon they'll be exploring every plant, bug, butterfly, firefly, and bird that they can find. And they will find things you didn't even know existed. And these days, you can just point your phone and use the Seek app or iNaturalist for the identification. For birds, there are many excellent apps such as Merlin, Sibley Birds, or Audubon, any of which can help you identify birds and hear their songs while showing you where they live and what time of year they can be found. I have long been fascinated by bird migration. Scott Wiedensahl is an author and naturalist who has written widely about bird migration. His book, one of my favorites, called Living on the Wind, documents the mind-boggling journeys that many birds make every year. Think about the migrant birds that nest near us each summer. Hummingbirds, house wrens, catbirds, orioles, rose-breasted grosbeaks, flycatchers, swallows, and more. All of these birds spend the northern winter far to the south. They go to southern U.S., Mexico, Central America, the Caribbean, or all the way to southern South America, often traveling thousands of miles each way. Ruby-throated hummingbirds, many of them fly nonstop across the Gulf of Mexico. No wonder they feed so heavily in the fall, nearly doubling their weight before making such an epic journey. Even then, they are dependent on favorable wind conditions to survive the long flight. Swainson's hawks fly from the western U.S. to Argentina every fall. We used to see large flocks of them overhead each spring and fall when we lived in Santa Cruz, Bolivia. Some shorebirds fly from their nesting sites in the tundra of Alaska, east to northern Europe, and then south to Africa for the winter. They may return to the Arctic in the spring by a different route. So imagine yourself being a newborn sandpiper, born in the tundra of Alaska or northern Canada. Your parents feed you until you can begin to fly. And then they leave for some destination thousands of miles to the south. Sometime later, fueled up and ready to go, something tells you how to fly to the same place where your parents have gone. Wow. We are part of God's family here, part of Assembly Mennonite Church. Many of us are part of a small group which has become increasingly important to many of us. But we still need to find ways to deal with the loss of normal relationships. Even on hot, humid days, it's possible to be outside and to stay at a safe distance from other people. This allows us to appreciate the natural world in a new way. And watching and learning about birds is one option. So, what does it take to get started in birding? Well, a pair of binoculars is probably the most important single item to consider. Binoculars make it possible to see birds in a completely new way. They're available in a wide range of prices. It's a good idea to try out binoculars before you buy them. That's possible locally here at Premier Optics in downtown Middlebury. Seeing a new bird through your binoculars is exciting. The second thing, a bird book, is usually what people need to find next beside a binoculars. However, as mentioned before, there are apps for your phone and computer that weren't an option until recently. But even with all this new technology, it's nice to have a bird book by your side as you sit at your kitchen table looking at birds. So here are a few ideas for enjoying birds at home. Having a water source available, especially running water, really attracts birds. At our place, we have an inexpensive water fountain that birds can drink from and bathe in, and they do. This works even better if the water can be located close to shrubs, flowers, rocks, or trees. A brush pile is also attractive to many birds. You should combine that water feature with one or more seed feeders and a suet feeder. Thistle seed, cracked corn, or mixed bird feed are okay, but I prefer using only oil sunflower seed most of the time. And from April until late fall, one or two hummingbird feeders will usually attract hummingbirds, which can provide hours of enjoyment. And orioles love grape jelly and oranges. You can also put up nest boxes to attract some birds to your backyard. Some of us like to keep track of birds that we see. Since I was about 10, I've kept bird lists. Now I just use my phone, keeping my lists on eBird, the free worldwide Cornell app that allows you to record your bird sightings. You can then use the data in all kinds of ways. Before I start a walk along the Millrace or Fiddler Pond or the Pumpkin Vine Nature Trail or the River Preserve, I open an eBird list, which allows me to enter all the birds that I hear or see. And it also tracks the route and the distance that I walked. Jared Lehman is a middle school teacher here in Goshen. Jared got into birding in a big way this year. He takes his kids with him as often as possible. Jared decided to see how many different kinds of birds he could find in Elkhart County in 2020, and he's already well over 200 species. But the great thing about birding is that you can be a Jared Lehman, or you can be someone who prefers to only watch birds at home. Both extremes and anywhere in between can be satisfying and life-giving. Many of us who are birders enjoy helping others learn about birds. And while it's really fun to go birding with another person or in a group, the great thing is that you can do it by yourself, the best way at this point in time. This spring, I did some birding by driving to a birding location and then meeting a friend there. We would then walk the trails and watch and listen for birds while keeping a safe distance from each other and others. But these days, I go birding by myself. Hopefully that can change in the future. In conclusion, I have been so glad for the small things in life. And while I have missed worshiping with all of you at the meeting house, I am thankful for this summer season of sharing and around the theme of small things. May God be with each of us and guide us as we move into a new season, which means new schedules, new worship ideas, and lots of unknowns. And don't forget, fall bird migration is already underway.